Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
All right, good morning. Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake, the church where we are always seeking to know God, love God, and serve God. I can see you speaking those words with me, and I appreciate it. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers, and also to all those who act as fathers to people, as fathering figures, as mentors. We are grateful for all of you. You know, whether you're joining us in person or online, hello online friends, we want to offer a special welcome to those who are visiting with us today. We do have a gift for you at the welcome desk right out in the coffee area room, and we have some friendly links who can introduce you to some new friends. I'm Pastor Lynn, your associate pastor. And our worship leaders today are Liz Hoover and Bruce Stark. Pastor John's going to be bringing our message today as we consider God's faithfulness to us and perhaps his love, his deep abiding love. Please complete the connection cards that are in your bulletin. They are so helpful to us, and the staff actually looks through them every Monday morning to see who's about what, who's saying that they want to be part of something so that we can help to make that happen. If you came here today carrying something on your heart, we would love to pray for you. So if that's the case, take one of those little cards that's in the pew rack ahead of you. Just write down your name and what your prayer concern is, and you can put that and the connection card both right into the offering plate. If there are any children still with us, this is a good time to head down to Sunday school if you'd like to. We have a great Sunday school downstairs. But children are always welcome in worship with us. In fact, we smile if there's a baby babbling with us while we're speaking. It makes our hearts smile. We do have a few things to share with you. Vacation Bible School is just around the corner. And already, the volunteers are working to get started, to prepare. So now is the time for you to invite your neighbors and to pre-register your own kids or grandkids. It's for kids ages 3 through 5th grade. They have music, drama, science, crafts, stories, games, and more. And what are the dates? Anybody could tell me the dates of Vacation Bible School this year? Raise your hand. Oh, you're looking. I should have said close your eyes first. All right, so it's July 21 through 24. And also, if you have a few hours available over the next few weeks, those people I mentioned that are helping to get ready for it, there's lots to do. And so you can find a schedule I think online. Look online. But it's Tuesdays and Wednesdays and Thursdays at different times, or check in with Pastor Lindsay. All right, next, mark your calendars for August 2nd. That's when we're having our annual all-church outdoor worship and picnic. Outdoor worship, isn't that great? Remember last winter, did you ever think we'd get here? But we did. We're going to be worshiping beside the water on the beautiful Whitmore Lake campus. Music by Mike Tooman and the entire praise team. Worship will start at 11 with a free picnic lunch at noon. There's even going to be a bounce house, so bring the grandkids or the kids. Note This means on August 2nd, there will be this service, 9:30, but there won't be an 11 o'clock service here because we're all going to be down at the lake, okay? So remember that. And if you'd like to help prepare for this thing, prepare for the food, contact Susan Kimball. July 3rd, another fun day. Another day you can head over to Whitmore Lake. You can watch the fireworks over the lake. And while you're watching the fireworks, you can feel good because you're also helping to donate to Habitat for Humanity by paying for your parking that evening. But you have to get there by 6. That parking lot fills up. So 6 o'clock come, and Abigail Circle is going to have snacks, and it'll be great. All right. Now I would like to invite Tara Ruiz up because she has a little announcement for us.
Good morning. Thank you for your time this morning as I read an announcement regarding our preschool. For the past 5 years, we have been blessed with Jennifer Lappa as our preschool director. She has provided outstanding leadership, direction, and teaching while caring deeply for each child and their family. Jennifer has been a tremendous gift to our community. With a heavy heart, we share that Jennifer has decided to resign from her position as the First Steps preschool director. This was a difficult decision for Jennifer, one she took very seriously. To ensure a smooth transition, Jennifer is committed to staying on until a new director is hired, with her final date as director being prior to the start of the 26-27 school year. The First Steps Preschool Advisory Committee, alongside the staff management team of First United Methodist Church, is actively working to hire a new preschool director. We will keep you updated as this position is filled and a new director is welcomed to the First Steps preschool community. Please don't hesitate to reach out with any questions or concerns, either myself, Pastor Lindsay, or Pastor John. Jennifer will continue to be available until a new preschool director is hired, if you wish to share a note of appreciation and thanks. As we interview new candidates and we search for the new preschool director, we'd like to invite you to keep this process in prayer. We trust that God will provide an excellent person to be our next First Steps preschool director. So thank you for your prayers and your support in this matter.
Thank you. morning. Please join me in the opening prayer. Lord, we celebrate with you and we turn to you when we feel like the world is caving in around us. We are grateful for your everlasting presence. Help us to trust what you say. Help us to believe that your love is enough so that we can put a new face on each day with the assurance that you are always there lifting us up. Amen. Please be seated. I am fortunate to be able to be allowed to read the scripture, and they send it to us ahead of time so we can practice. Well, I had a very hectic week this week, and I didn't read the scripture until I got here this morning, so it made me very embarrassed to realize that it took me at least 5 minutes this morning to decide what to wear. And you'll understand that as we read the scripture. Today it's from Matthew 6, chapters 25 to 34. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to your span of life? And why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not clothed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is alive today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For it is the Gentiles who seek all these things. And indeed, your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. So do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring worries of its own. Today's trouble is enough for today. This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God.
I invite you to join me in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be measured and found acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer, and the one who provides for our every need. Amen. We're in the midst of a sermon series that's preaching about the hymns, the hymns of our faith, where we've titled it Sing It Again, and it's all about the songs of our faith that continue to motivate and animate us throughout the course of our lives. And so we are in the midst of the sermon series about these hymns, these sacred hymns of our faith that animate us and give us purpose and meaning and direction and edify us in our journey of faith. And this particular hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness, it's all about God's provision for our every need, taking care of all of our responsibilities and taking care of everything that we could possibly ask for or imagine or absolutely need. And God shows up over and over again. This particular hymn was written by a guy named Thomas O. Chisholm in 1923. And the fascinating thing about this guy is he was born in Kentucky, and he grew up and he had a variety of different professions. He was always financially struggling. He was had a difficult time sort of getting by, but he decided eventually to become a Methodist minister, which is an interesting decision for him to make as he was struggling his way through life. And he was a minister for exactly 1 year. And then his health started to decline. He was facing all kinds of challenges, and so he was ordained. He served for 1 year, and then he left pastoral ministry. And so I noticed a couple of our retired clergy as they walked in, and I just thought, you know, we've made it a little bit longer than this great hymn writer, you know, some of us who have served more than 365 days in active ministry. But he wrote this book actually about the biblical text from Lamentations. And perhaps you've heard of the book of Lamentations, maybe a little bit of information about it, but it's from chapter 3, verses 22 and 23. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. Those are the words from the book of Lamentations. But what's interesting is if you read the rest of the book of Lamentations, this particular text is situated right in the middle of the destruction of the temple of Jerusalem. So all of these terrible things are happening all throughout the land of God's people. And yet in the midst of that, the writer of the book of Lamentations chose to write the words, "Great is the faithfulness of God, and God's mercies endure forever. They never come to an end. They're new every morning, and great is the faithfulness of God." And I find that to be profound. It sort of makes the lyrics to this particular hymn stick out a little bit more. Here's this Methodist pastor who writes poetry, and he only serves for 1 year. His body is failing him. He's struggling financially, and he writes this hymn, "Great is Thy Faithfulness." And sometimes when we preach and when we write poetry and when we write hymns, sometimes we're actually not trying to preach to anybody else out there. We're actually just trying to internalize the message ourselves. We're trying to receive the very things that were inviting everybody else to sing. And he wrote this hymn, and actually there wasn't a whole lot of adoption or embracing of this particular hymn. It was kind of quiet for a little while, and then Billy Graham, who made all kinds of hymns famous in the United States, eventually came along and made this hymn famous as well. I found it interesting, as you read through the different stanzas of this particular text, that it essentially doesn't ask God for anything. All it does is proclaim that God is there for us in the midst of our every need, that God provides for us in the midst of our every experience. There's no request, there's no petition, there's no, God, please do this for me or us or somebody else. It just simply proclaims that God is there, that God provides. There's no shadow out there of turning from God's presence in our lives. It says that God doesn't change, and God's compassion never fails, and it's present in all of the stages of our lives, that God will be there in the past, in the present, and the future. It's just this proclamation for each of us to hold on to, that even in the darkest moments of our lives, even in the greatest challenges, even if we don't feel like things are going our way or the doors aren't being opened for us or we're experiencing grief or loss, that God's faithfulness continues even in the midst of that time. I've had the honor of being with folks throughout the course of many stages of their lives, whether it's baptisms or new births or weddings or funerals, particularly is where I've tended to sort of land my plane in ministry. And when I meet with families, they oftentimes choose a trio of hymns. Susan can probably attest to this. It's like Amazing Grace, How Great Thou Art, and Great is Thy Faithfulness, right? Like those are, in case you're, you know, sort of capitulating on what songs you might want to have sung during the memorial service of a loved one, oftentimes it's that. Sometimes people ask, about the old rugged cross every once in a while, but these three hymns, they tend to show up a lot because they're reminders that even when we're going through the valley of the shadow of death, or when we're struggling, or when we're in the midst of our challenges, God's there with us. And some of us, when we reflect on these moments of challenge and strife, we can point to individual moments where God walked alongside us or sort of propped us up. This was one of the hymns that my grandmother insisted that we sing at her memorial service after she had passed. And I remember as she was preparing for the latter stages of life, as she was walking down that particular road, I'll never forget sitting at the dining room table at her place down in Florida. She was talking to me about, you know, just life and the meaningful life and what it meant for her. And she said that, I've done all I've come here to do, which I've shared that particular story with you guys in the past. You know this particular story a little bit, but as I looked into her eyes as she made that decision, you know, she was absolutely resolute in her decision that she had accomplished her mission, that she had met her life goal, that she had checked all the boxes, that she had lived a good life. And she also had what we in the church and the Methodist tradition in particular would call assurance, this understanding that no matter what, she was going to relax into God's everlasting arms, that God was going to show up for her. There were no questions or doubt or fear about what was to come after she took her last breath. It was just between here and there that she was particularly worried about. She's like, John, I'm not too concerned about what happens once I go. It's just the getting there that's the problem. It's the loss of abilities. It's the you know, sort of body falling apart and the issues that come, the doctor's appointments. And she was on the verge of going in to have fluid drawn off her lungs for potentially the last time. And she just looked at us and she said, I'm done. I've done all I've come here to do. I don't know about you, but it's helpful in life to sort of have like a compass direction, a purpose and a direction that you're trying to go in, some understanding of like where the ultimate destination is. And sometimes we wander and we go back and forth and we don't necessarily know all of the steps between here and there, but just to have a general compass direction about where we're headed. And to me, like from the moment I heard that out of my grandmother's lips, I was just like, now I know. Now I know what my life's purpose is, that at some point I would love to be able to look my kids or maybe my grandkids in the eye or maybe Lindsay, whoever is there at that point, and just say, I've done all I've come here to do. I'm okay, I'm at peace, I'm ready. And to be able to trust in the faithfulness of God, regardless of what is going on in the world, regardless of what's going on in society, regardless of what's going on in my family, I would love to be able to get to a point where I say, I've done all I've come here to do, and God's faithfulness is great, it's good, it's enduring, it's steadfast, it never ends, that God will show up. I have absolutely no concerns or fear about what there is to come, because God's promises for us is that there's a place made for all of us, not made with human hands, but eternal in the heavens, that Jesus went ahead of the rest of us to prepare a place with many rooms, a place that's beautiful where there's no more suffering and no more pain, and there's peace, finally. There's no more storylines and scandals and people suffering for water or healthcare or opportunities to eat, that every need is provided for. And to me, when I think about the faithfulness of God, that's what I think about, is that God made a promise to each and every one of us that in the end it's going to be okay. It's just getting there that seems to be continuously the problem. We still have hungry people. We still have decisions to make about what clothes we will wear, what food we will eat. And I have to admit, Liz, I took longer to choose my outfit today. And it was mostly because I was like, I wear the same suit every week. Some of you who are particularly fashionably in tune may have noticed that or even pointed it out. Does Pastor John have more than one suit? The weird thing is, I do. I just never wear any of the rest of them. I can't explain why. But I stood there and I was like, should I wear the same thing again? And I left my closet and I came back and had the same question again. And I left my closet again and came back a third time. So Liz, you're not alone. I am with you in the struggle. The reality is, though, a lot of us have concerns. As we walk through life, we might wonder about our own health. We wonder about the health of loved ones. We get concerned about whether or not we're going to have enough, about who will provide for our every need. We get anxious about the state of the world. We get anxious for safety and security. We worry about God's provision. And frankly, there's something about the fact that the scriptures have over 300 admonitions for us to stop worrying. In fact, some people say that they found 365 or more, which means that you could read a new scripture passage every single day of the year and not run out of biblical passages encouraging us not to worry. I'd like to think that just by reading that at the beginning of each day, that somehow it would cure all of our anxieties and fears about the future. I'm willing to guess that they wouldn't. Even by reading God's encouragement over and over again for us not to be worried, I imagine that all of us will always have something on our heart and on our mind that we hold on to. I am an expert catastrophizer. I think that's the right word. A psychologist could tell me if I've used that incorrectly, but I am so good at starting at a potential negative outcome, and then probably in about 30 minutes, I will have convinced myself that there's no other option possible than the worst case scenario happening. Is anybody with me? I am especially good at this in the evening time. And I found a solution to my problem as I spiral deep into this depth of despair. I find myself getting this easy off-ramp when I simply say, what if it doesn't happen? And I feel like a cape emerges on my back and I can fold my arms like Superman and I'm like, yeah, what if it doesn't happen? I could sing all the great hymns of the faith and read all these scriptures about not worrying, but in the moment of despair where I feel like absolutely, positively, the worst thing is going to happen, come what may, no matter what, there's something about saying, what if it didn't, that sets me free. And then I can start to sort of climb my way out of that pit of despair by holding on to hymns like this. Great is thy faithfulness. Oh yeah, God's still out there. God is got my back. God is enduring forever. God is present in all of our valleys and on the mountaintop, that somehow God's going to work this out for me. And I can climb one step out of these pits that I can find myself in. And oftentimes it really helps getting to sleep. This particular passage that Liz read for us this morning is part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. It's a familiar passage, and it's this reminder that if the birds have enough to eat, and if the grass and the fields are clothed with beautiful flowers and decorations, how much more would God care about you and your needs if God provides for the needs of all of these creatures out in creation, if God provides a safe place for them to live and creates for them food that they're able to eat, how much more will God provide for each and every one of us? And at the end of it, I love this piece, like, how many of you have succeeded in adding to the amount of time that you have by worrying? I remember in college when I would get anxious about final exams, and I just get worried and start spiraling in that immediate, you know, incredible gift of catastrophizing that I have. And I remember, like, just watching the clock as minutes went by. And it wasn't a particularly successful tactic at studying more or adding to the knowledge or experience that I have. But instead, there's this encouragement in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount to trust in God's faithfulness. That if God provides for these creatures, then God's going to provide for you. If you're struggling with an issue, with a need, with a concern, if you turn to God, if you find support in your community of faith, in your church, that God will provide some way, somehow, some support necessary will emerge in the midst of your life, and one foot after another, you will be able to make your way in the midst of the challenge that you're facing, that worrying about it doesn't solve anything, that if you trust that in the end, God's going to win and God is good, that everything eventually will be all right. And then you can create a plan. How am I going to get from here to God's promise? How am I going to get from this place where I feel stuck and anxious and afraid to this place of freedom and liberation? And I think that is what spiritual disciplines are all about. This particular hymn that we're talking about today reminds us that God gives us pardon for sin and a peace that endures with all issues that we could face during the course of our life. The sort of apex of this hymn, I think, is strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. It sort of concludes with this beautiful piece in the third verse where it says, strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. At the end of the day, I think that's all we can ever ask for. Enough courage and fortitude to face the challenges of just this day. Tomorrow will worry about itself. I'm not going to worry about it. Instead, I'm just going to ask God, give me some hope that it's going to be okay. Give me a promise that I can hold on to. Give me a rope, a lifeline that I could be rescued by in the midst of my catastrophizing or worrying about the future. Strength for today and bright hope for tomorrow. Hold on to that, because that is one of the unfailing promises of God. No matter what you're going through, no matter what your challenges are of this particular day, may God grant you the strength that you can face the challenges of this moment. And while I'm preaching almost exclusively to myself, I encourage you not to worry, that God has your back, that God will be with you in the midst of every valley. And may God grant you the hope that you need to have for a bright tomorrow. Frankly, sometimes that's all we have. May it be enough for all of us. Amen.
Thank you. And all God's people said. Amen. Thank you, Vocal Ensemble. That was absolutely fantastic. Before we start our prayer time, I want to call your attention to the two quilts we have. They are for Larissa and Linda. On your way out of the church, please stop at the table, tie a knot, say a prayer, sign the card so that Larissa and Linda know that we're keeping them in our prayers and in our thoughts. I started thinking about how long it took me to pick out clothes. I opened the drawer. There it was. The orange was on top, the green was on the bottom, and I took the green. I did it. Now, I say, don't worry about your wear. I say a prayer every morning when I get dressed that my suspenders are going to last the whole day. Because if my suspenders give out in the middle of the day, somebody's going to be embarrassed. Probably not me, but somebody's going to be embarrassed. Now, as we enter a time of prayer, please join me in an attitude of prayer. God, our Father, we come before you this morning to praise you, to give you thanks. On this Father's Day, we thank you for the blessings of our fathers and the father figures in our lives, and give thanks for those that teach us, those that help us to learn to live as Jesus lived, those that helped us to live our lives the way Jesus taught his followers to live. We pray for those that have lost their fathers and their father figures, and remember the lessons we've learned from them. We pray for those wishing to become fathers but are having difficulty, but we want them to know that your love is there for them as they struggle. Above all, we give thanks for you, our Heavenly Father, and we give thanks for all the blessings that you have given us, our friends, our family, our neighbors. Help us to love them as you do, to care for each other, to show your love to those that need it, especially those that need your love the most, the ones that don't know your love yet. We pray for our quilt recipients, Larissa and Linda, and pray that as they wrap themselves in the warmth of the quilts, they feel the warmth and the love and the prayers of this congregation, as well as your love, as they face the struggles that lay ahead. Father, we pray for all in need in our communities, in our state, across the nation, and across the world that have suffered due to conflicts and violence going on in our lives, both near and far from our homes. We pray for our leaders, Lord, the world leaders, the national, the state, and local leaders, that the decisions that they make in this world are tempered with your love, guided by your hand, and blessed by your word. Help them to see clear so that the decisions that they make today may be the best for all of us. Bless us, Lord, that we may find the best that you have in store for us, and that we can turn that around and do the best that we can to honor and praise you, to love those around us as you show your love for us. Help us to show that same love to others, working together to make this world whole and to honor you as we do. Now, in this time of silent meditation, we ask for your ear to hear our concerns, our thoughts, and ask your blessings on our problems, as well as to hear our praises of you for all the glorious things that you have provided for us in our lives. When the disciples asked Jesus, "How should we pray?" he said, "Pray like this." And now we repeat the prayer that he taught his disciples, saying, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And don't forget, God loves you, and there's nothing you can do about it, even when your suspenders fail.
I'd like to invite the ushers to come forward to receive our morning offerings and the prayer cards and the connection cards. But I want to tell you a story. It was Thanksgiving morning. No, it was the Monday after Thanksgiving in 2015. And I was in the bedroom of the parsonage in East Point, the church I was serving then. And my phone rang. And it was my sister-in-law, Linda. And she was standing in my parents' living room next to my mother's body. She called to tell me that she didn't know what to do. And I tell you that my head was spinning. I was filled with shock and pain and a terrible need to get there, to take care of things, to help everybody. And I needed to do it as fast as possible. So I jumped into my car and I began driving through heavy traffic from the east side to Livonia, where she had been living. I totally planned to call Gary and our daughters and anyone else I thought of while I was driving. But I was frazzled. And I dialed the first number. And the call dropped instantly. What? And so then I dialed another number. And that call wouldn't go through either. And I tried another one. And I could not get that phone to work. And then I thought, maybe God doesn't want me on the phone right now. And then I realized, maybe this is God's way of taking care of me right now. And a sense of calmness came over me. And I decided to slow down and place myself and my family in God's hands. And I prayed for all of us. And I gave thanks for my mom. And I trusted God's faithfulness. So I think at offering time, it's a really great time. Maybe you could even make a habit. Every time that you're going to give your offering, think about some time when God has been faithful to you. Thanks be to God. Amen.
God, heavenly parent of us all, we bring our offerings to you. Money is a thing we worry about in this world, but we will trust in you and give the gift of our money so that this church can grow and lead your people in your ways. Bless this gift we give from the heart. Amen.
Say
worship service here this Sunday, I want to wish you a happy Father's Day for those of you who are celebrating and observing, for you and for others who have played that role in your life. As we conclude this worship service, I also want to wish you a happy summer solstice. It doesn't get any better than this. Sunlight, as long as we can possibly endure it. It's a beautiful day outside. I hope you're able to find some way of enjoying it. As we go out into the world, I wanted to share with you, I just feel like I have never had as much fun in ministry as I am having right now. On Wednesday night, we have this wonderful biking group that has been biking, and just the other day, Pastor Lindsay and I were over at friends' house in our neighborhood, and all of our kids were playing with all of their friends, and we just feel so incredibly fortunate and grateful to be here among you. We're grateful for this church and all that this church is doing to make a difference in this world, and my hope is that we can just take a moment to express gratitude to God for all that God is doing in our midst. I had this incredible moment on Friday night as I was sitting around a campfire with a bunch of neighbors and friends watching my kids play and mostly fight over a hammock that was over in the distance, but they were far enough away that I couldn't hear all the details of what was going on, but I know that the space was hotly contested. I looked over and I saw Pastor Lindsay, and she was talking with all of the neighborhood moms solving all the world's problems, and all of us guys were over talking about thermal nuclear energy and, you know, AI and all the other world problems over here, and it was just great. And I found myself thinking, God is faithful. God is incredibly faithful, and God provides for our needs. And as you go out into the world, I pray that you would help somebody else know that, that you'd be able to share the faithfulness of God, the ways God has shown up with you in your life. Just like Pastor Lynn shared, it only takes a minute to share about the moments in our lives that God has showed up for us. So whether you're in a valley or you feel like you're on a mountaintop, may you go out and share the faithfulness of God, because I believe with all of my heart that there are so many people in the world who could desperately benefit from knowing that God is faithful to them as well. As you depart from this place, may you go with the blessing of God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Let us go, loving and serving the Lord. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You were invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.